Well, Curtis, I know it's been a lot of hard work for a few years for you and your team and Reese Jones and everybody else, but it's got to be nice to see some light at the end of the tunnel and see the Medina 2 project almost ready to wrap up and have golfers out there playing.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't be more excited to get players out there. It's just been such a fun project, and we're really excited about the golf course and just really anxious to get some feedback from our members.
Tell us about some of the aspects that you've added to the golf course. It sounds like it's a golf course that's going to be enjoyable for all skill levels.
Yeah, that was the goal from the very beginning. You know, it's always been the course that's been utilized by all the various levels of players here at Medina. So we took that approach to the project from the very beginning. And it started with really widening the corridors and restoring the fairway widths that were originally intended for the golf course, enlarging the greens, adding enough teeing ground to provide access for everybody. And then, you know, when we got into more particular stuff like the bunkers, we wanted them to be strategically placed and challenging, yet we didn't want them to be too drastic. We have plenty of that in other places out here, so we call them low profile and very accessible in and out, and should be fun to play out of as well.
I was going to say Medina's considered itself a family club for a long time, and when your members come out with their junior golfers or some of their junior golfers are bringing their junior golfer friends, you want everybody to be able to have a good time and to get people hooked on this great sport for a lifetime.
Absolutely, that's the goal. You know, I mean, obviously with course number 3, it would be easy to show up at Medina and maybe be a little intimidated by the game, but that's not what we want. We have the opportunity to have all the 3 different golf courses and offer our membership such a wide portfolio of experiences, and this one is certainly one that's very inviting for all levels, especially the beginner.
It had to be interesting to have an old classic Tom Bendelow course that hasn't seen 6 other architects come through over the years and blow up parts of it and put their stamp on it, to kind of have an almost untouched piece of property for you and Reese and your team to work with.
In my first season in 2008, we started looking at this golf course for this project, and at that time Reese mentioned that in his career, he hadn't seen a golf course that was so untouched, that really was still sitting there back from its original construction, and it really made the project fun. You know, you could find very easily just by walking the ground. We had photos, we had different things, but you really didn't need them when you got out there. You could see what the original intent was, where things were supposed to be, and where they had been lost. So, yeah, it was really a great experience to work with a piece of property like that.
Tell us about a couple of the historical touches that you've recaptured and brought out on the golf course.
Well, there's a couple. There were bunkers that had been removed, and trees had been planted in place of them. And what was really neat was we took those trees out. Those bunkers were still there. You know, the cavity was there. It wasn't like we had to design any kind of crazy shape or anything. They were already there to guide us. The fairways back in the 20s, you know, you had one mower that cut a fairway, and then there was no other cut. So you had these wide fairway corridors that in a lot of cases on tight properties like this one connected. And so we brought that back and connected a couple fairways into two or three areas that is unique. You just don't see everywhere. The greens, I think, was probably the most applicable to what was intended from the very beginning, in that those shapes and those mounds were not bulldozed in any way. We were very delicate with our equipment up there and the effort of trying to preserve all those unique shapes and show a set of greens that was unique to itself compared to course 1 or course 3.
I'd say finally was, would you sum up the project as obviously a lot of work, but fun, and also just how much, you know, of this project can you say maybe it even turned out a little better than we hoped?
The project was the funnest project, the most fun project I've been on in a lot. I mean, they're all great. I mean, the opportunity to do this as a golf course superintendent, it's a blessing, and some guys never get to do it, and I've been fortunate to be a part of all this work here at Medina, and it's been a wonderful blessing, but this one was just a blast. Maybe because of our last one, I don't know, it was just so unique and different than the approach that we took on any of the other ones. So it was really a lot of fun, and, you know, what I think was really neat about the way things turned out was there were certain holes that we could see were going to be great when we restored them. I mean, you were just clear as day that these are going to be really neat holes when we're done. And then there were a few others that we weren't really sure. You know, there was the bunkering or certain features were really uninspiring, and we messed around with those a little bit. We took a little bit of liberty, and that's why we call it a modified restoration, because it needed a little bit of modernization, and we applied that. And so I think the most exciting part to me are holes like 4 and like 7 and like 16, where when you looked at them at the beginning, we were like, what are we going to do with this thing? You know, this is going to be kind of a weak hole, but it turned out we were able to make them some of the better holes out there.
Reese, how nice was it to have it come out and have a chance to work on a project where you really have an old classic golf course that a lot of other people didn't come and put their stamp on over the years? It was pretty much an untouched routing.
Well, it was a great opportunity because the model was there. If physically we could see what had been lost, then we could recapture it, much like we did at Bethpage Black. The same situation. Nobody had really messed with the golf course before we came in to restore it. It had grown in. The trees had grown in. Some of the bunkers have been lost. But for the most part, we brought it back to its former glory.
My understanding was when you were out here doing some things for Course 3 in advance of the Ryder Cup, you started kind of looking at that a little bit and realized that that could be a project to play with there.
That's right. We have such a good relationship with the club, Medina. We would go look at number 1, we'd go look at number 2, and then we helped them years ago working out the drainage through those two golf courses. So we were looking at number 1 and number 2, in essence, to get the drainage worked out properly. And then we did the practice fairway, too, and the short game area.
Reese, the people who see Medina on TV at a tournament think, you know, big, powerful golf course. But when you get to the club here, you see a family club with, you know, members now that maybe want to introduce their junior golfers to a game of a lifetime. It seems like you've incorporated a lot of that into this project.
Well, Marty D'Angelo is one of the best pros in the area. I mean, he's a phenomenal teaching pro, and they got a great teaching pro here. They got a couple hundred junior players. This is a real family club. And I think the greatness of Medina is they've got one of the world's great golf courses, number 3. They have another championship golf course, number 1. And they have a playable, enjoyable golf course that can actually achieve a challenge for every caliber player in number 2. So they've got the best of all worlds for every caliber player, from the junior to the senior.
When we look at some of the bunkers out on number 2, we see some of the little grass islands. We see some of the ridges on the back of the greens, the old historical look there. Tell us about some of the historical characteristics that you've recaptured with number 2.
Well, back in the old days, and Bendelo was known for 18 stakes on a Sunday afternoon, but this is a course where I think he put a lot of time in. He lived here. He put a lot of detail. He had a lot of backstops on his greens. He had a lot of very interesting contours. He had some false fronts. We tried to incorporate a lot of the old style chipping areas because they didn't really have as good turf in those days as they have today. So it was kind of fun to be able to see what he intended and then bring it back, but really bring it into the modern times, and especially with our Longleaf Tee program or Golf for Life Tee program, which is going to make it playable for everybody in the club.
Tell us a little bit. You took some of the trees out, and it's kind of opened some things up. How nice is it that the club has allowed you to do that? Because, you know, a lot of club members are starting to discover how nice that works for a variety of reasons. The superintendents love it. They find get rid of some trees. It's easier to grow grass in some areas. It cuts down maintenance costs. But you always have some members that love their trees. And it must have been great that the club let you come in and have the flexibility to do what was right in that area.
Well, when we came here 17 years ago, we started working on number 3, getting ready for the 2006 PGA and then the Ryder Cup. There were just too many trees, a lot of junk trees. So we really started the process gradually on number 3, cleaning out the woods, opening it up, and then putting turf where the trees were. It was just so dense that if you hit a ball in there, you'd almost lose your ball. And so I think the club got used to the fact that still keeping the tree-lined fairways, keeping trees as a part of the playability of the golf course is of a parkland golf course. And so they got used to removal of trees, but still keeping the tree line and the strategy of the trees. So, and then number 1, they took out several trees. We took out, I think, about 600 trees on number two, but mainly we were really bringing it back to this former way of playability, and we took out a lot of the junk trees and the pine trees.
Would you call this project a fun project, the one on number two?
Well, I love what I do. I love designing golf course, and this is a real restoration. The term restoration has been overly used or maybe abused, and in many cases, they're really not restoring golf courses. In this case, we just like Tulsa Country Club or East Lake or Bethpage Black, we restored Medina number two, and I think that was really fun because now we got something really distinctively different from any other golf course in Chicago. And working with Curtis Tyrell, who I worked with at Lake of Isles, and then I was partially responsible for him coming here because when he was being interviewed, I recommended him. It's been a pleasure because we're good buddies and good friends, and we've been working hard on number three, and now the chance to do number two in conjunction with him has been kind of a lot of fun.
Finally, on number two, you know, sometimes you can do all sorts of things when you're doing drawings and thinking about what you're going to do, and you can drive around and look at the golf course, but sometimes until you get out there and you really roll up your sleeves and you start moving things around a little bit, you find out maybe there's even a little bit more. Did any parts of this project with number two turn out maybe even better than you'd hoped?
Well, that's a really good question because, see, golf courses, if they're properly done, are really done on the ground. Even if it's a new golf course, you kind of discover the golf course as it's an ongoing process. And as we did this together, you know, as we peeled away the trees, as we found where the old bunkers were, as we enlarged the greens back to the original sizes, we really found some nuances that we never expected to find before. And we did modify a little bit of the green surfaces, but we kept a lot of the character of the old golf course, which is very distinctive. And then every once in a while, because now we have different situations than they did 90 years ago, we added a bunker here or there. We combined fairways, which was really indicative of what we saw on the aerial photograph. But we sort of felt that on the ground, and we didn't make that decision initially, but at the same token, as we kept going, and then we made some changes to some of the bunkers in the process as far as combining them across two different holes. We did that a couple of times, but this was all done on the ground from the old aerial photographs, but then we sort of added our own twist as we went along.